Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the best of TJN science and technology interviews. You're invited to join us to listen to select researchers and scientists share their rarely discussed rediscoveries in science and technologies. The time is now to come forward in our brains and process the discoveries that can now be applied to assist us to master the days, months, and years ahead. So sit back and let your mind soar while your brain processes the best science news from our past that is very relevant to our lives today. Enjoy the best of TJN.
Greetings, everyone. How are you? And if you're just tuning in, welcome. You just tuned into the 21st Century Woman Show, and I'm your host, Dr. Jewel. Well, we have a very interesting discussion going on today. We are talking about the brain. The brain is the name of the game. And pull up a chair. Get your pad and pencils available because we have a lot to say about the 21st century woman and the brain. You know, this is a 10-week series, but my goodness, it seems like it should go much further than that. However, we'll see how much we can accomplish. We're very clear, though, that the brain is one of the most important organs for the 21st century and for women especially. There's been a lot of research done over the last 20, 25 years to finally confirm, to document. We have photographs, we've got chemical signatures, et cetera, that the brain of women is different than the brain of men. Now, we also have some problems that have cropped up from that because we know with the addition of pharmaceutical medications ingested in the diet, over the last 40 years, it's increased by almost 45 to 55%, especially in the Western world, that the chemistry of the brain has been altered from its natural course from eating regular, naturally grown foods. So with the change in the agricultural methodologies used to grow our food, as well as the direct ingestion of pharmaceuticals, the brain and its function and its standard chemistry has changed, which also we are seeing a real difference in the behavior patterns of male and females, as well as the consciousness relative to what used to be the standard behaviors that were dictated by men and women. Before I go on, I do want to interject one other aspect that is becoming very prominent in the 21st century is the fact that the hormones of the body, the six major glands of the body, of the endocrine system, their chemical composition has also been altered environmentally due to the change in the food source and its quality. Also, the types of foods that have been eaten, as well as pharmaceuticals. And we do know then that attitudes and behavior patterns that have occurred because of this change in the chemistry of the brain, chemistry of the blood, is also going to be a new observation that's going to be made over the centuries and over the decades in the 21st century. Now, one last bit of information that is also to be considered, and we must observe this in ourselves, is that we now develop more brain tissue. We recognize that the significance of how we behave relative to the sex hormones, how we handle ourselves through our bodies relative to the genital area is also drastically changing and will continue to change as we recognize that the 10% area of the body that contains the genital signature is becoming much more insignificant as to how we think and how we behave relative to developing more of the brain, moving into regions of the brain that not until the 21st century have really been made available to us, that we will see a drastic change in how beings that have vaginas and beings that have penises will definitely be acting uniquely. So we have a lot of things that we are going to be observing in ourselves, observing in humanity in general, which will literally set a whole new precedent for how males and females beings, literally, that happen to have female or male genitalia will be interacting, and it's very exciting. But one thing we are very clear about is that the brain is the name of the game, how it is developed, how it is used, and most of all, the amount of mind that the brain has the capacity to process is going to determine our quality of life this century and especially our quality of life as women. Now, we've received a lot of information here that really systematically does not make sense here. We have some books that talk about how to change your mind, and we have other books that talk about change your brain, change your life. Change your brain, change your destiny. But now many people are still not clear about the difference between mind and brain. And this must be cleared up very early in the 21st century so that you can be very clear about the sources of information, the sources of energy fields that you are interacting with. I have become very comfortable from looking at quantum mechanics, the physics of light, the physics of matter, that we all agree that in space, regardless of whether it has a mechanism for measuring time or not, always contains information. All space contains information, and the capacity for an individual to interact with any information carried in the form of energy depends on the dexterity and the capability of the brain to process it. So simply spoken, we are always in mind. We are always in mind. So whether you are aware of it or not, you literally live in an unlimited mind, which is a space filled with information, and all information carries knowledge. Filled with energy, all energy carries information. All energy carries knowledge. So as long as there's any form of energy, whether your body can perceive it or not, there's always information. And information and energy compose the mind. And we are able then to access that information to be able to utilize and process that energy based on the degree of brain development that we have achieved. So the brain is the name of the game in the 21st century, and this is a critical frontier for women this century to be able to access and to understand how to develop this. Very, very critical. I will be back after this message. We have a little message from our sponsor, and then let's begin to define some of the critical parameters that we are aware of that distinctly makes the female brain different from the male brain, which means what? Again, that the female brain, because of its chemical exposure to particular hormones and the concentration of those hormones, allows us to access information in the mind that males do not readily access, and vice versa. This is very important. However, with persistent development of the brain, the full development of all the neuronal circuits, the insurance that those neuronal circuits are connected and communicating with the remaining and the entire right and left hemisphere of the brain, you can know whatever you desire to know, regardless of your gender assignment, regardless of the amount of estrogen or testosterone that may be in your bloodstream, you can know relative to the brain development. So I'll be right back after this message, and then we'll get busy looking at the important parameters of brain development in females and how they have dictated behavior in the past and how we can go forward, understanding how we can control that behavior, accentuate it or eradicate it by choice, knowing how to develop the brain and utilize it properly. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neuronutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
If you're just tuning in, welcome. You're listening to the 21st Century Woman, and I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and we are talking about the brain is the name of the game today. So we have made it clear that we are dealing with a huge composite of chemicals that stimulate and shape the brain for each and every one of us. And the glandular system of the body, the major glands, secrete chemistries and chemicals in a particular way that definitely determine the contour of the brain during our fetal development in the uterus as well as throughout our life. We are also aware of the fact that in the 21st century, the 10% of our body that contains our genital signature will not have the dominance over our activities and our functions in the 21st century as they have had in the past, because developing the brain, having a greater understanding of its components, its circuits, how they function, and understanding how we can access our mind to be able to change the circuitry, to change the chemistry of the body, will then allow us to be able to use our bodies in completely different and unique ways. This is going to be a huge discussion throughout the 21st century, and especially for women. We discuss the fact very quickly that the mind literally is something that we are in. It is space unlimited by the definition of what we perceive as time that contains energy, and all energy contains information. We are able to interact with, ascertain, and comprehend the information in the energy field based on brain development, neuronal integration, and its capacity to produce precise chemical analogs that the cells of our body can understand, as well as our consciousness. So we are always in the mind, which is an energy field that contains unlimited information, And it is through our brain that we are able to access the mind to be able to comprehend the information the energy fields contain. So therefore, you are always able to access as much of your mind as possible relative to brain development. And this is very important to comprehend. Your mind and the universal mind is the same. Your capacity to know and to understand what is happening in any star system or any place, anywhere, is relative to the development of your brain and the proper use of the segments of your brain and the neurons that are able to interact with that energy field, chemically translate it accurately, and then release those neurochemicals into the bloodstream so that the tissues, the cells, the nucleus composing all in all cells is able to comprehend and translate that chemistry and allow the cell to respond appropriately, which means that collectively the body responds appropriately, and therefore awareness is now a fact for you as to what it is that you have been able to absorb and process in your mind. So your mind is huge and vast, and it can be quite small and limited relative to how you have developed your brain, how you're capable of utilizing it. So we have a lot of information now, ladies, out there about the female brain. I think one of the most respected authors on that, Luann Bresendine, a physician here, has taken the time after observing many, many things that has happened in the medical field, especially in neurosciences and psychiatry, psychology, et cetera, to document what has been discovered about the female brain. So let's just take a little information here before we're going to ask you to start deciding if you have questions for me or comments and calling in. So, of course, common sense tells us that boys and girls behave differently. We see it every day at home, on the playground, in the classroom. But what the culture hasn't told us is that the brain dictates these divergent behaviors. Now, the impulses of children are so innate that they kick in even if we adults try to nudge them into another direction. Interestingly enough, a patient gave her 3.5-year-old daughter many unisex toys in her attempt to suppress the typical female attitudes and behaviors that it was suggested that little girls are conditioned to execute. So this child was given a bright red fire truck instead of a doll. She walked into her daughter's room one afternoon to find her daughter cuddling the truck in a baby blanket, rocking it back and forth and saying, "Don't worry, little truckie, everything will be all right." This isn't socialization. This little girl didn't cuddle her truckie because her environment molded her unisex brain. There is no unisex brain. She was born with a female brain, which came complete with its own impulses. Girls arrive already wired as girls, and boys arrive already wired as boys. Their brains are different by the time they're born, and their brains are what drives their impulses, values, and their very reality until they are able to access the higher circuitries of the brain. And this is very important because this is the century that we will be able to access the more evolved higher circuitries of the brain that will finally be able, if it is decided, to override the innate, imprinted circuits of the brain that respond intensely to the influence of female and male hormones. Now, the brain shapes the way we see, hear, smell, and taste. This is very important. I'll say it again. The brain shapes the way we see, hear, smell, and taste. Nerves run from our sense organs directly to the brain, and the brain does all the interpreting, which is all translated chemically. A good conch on the head in the right place can mean that you won't be able to smell or taste. But the brain does more than that. It profoundly affects how we conceptualize the world, whether we think a person is good or bad, if we like the weather today, if it makes us unhappy, or whether we're inclined to take care of the day's business. You don't have to be a neuroscientist to know this. However, if you're feeling a little down and have a nice glass of wine or a lovely piece of chocolate, your attitude can shift. And it's important that you know how to be able to shift it, because it is going to be required that you begin to interpret how the body can change its function and its sensation, because you have learned how to control and direct the chemistry of the body, the chemistry of the bloodstream, which means then you have generated and grown a brain that allows you to easily access this information and allows you to observe yourself and your body as to how it responds in particular environments. Now, this is very interesting because most of us do this anyway, but we've relied on substances such as sugar, coffee, nicotine, as well as drugs to help control the body and allow us in consciousness to elicit the effects that we'd like to have in our life at any particular moment. Once it's important, and once you are able to understand the importance that you control and have always owned the master pharmaceutical company, the master pharmaceutical company is none of the companies that you may be familiar with that you can walk into their headquarters. It is in your brain. And when you are consciously aware of this and decide that you're going to be able to walk into and through your own brain to make the chemicals you desire to flow through your bloodstream so that your body will perform in the way that you dictate at any moment, now you are mastering your life, and this is literally available to you this century. It's never been offered before. The few people, regardless of their genital signature, that have been able to do this has been very limited. But now this is offered to all individuals. And it requires you to, first of all, have to captivate the brain, be able to access the right and the left hemisphere of the brain, and then to create a continuous environment to nurture it. Now, here we are. This is the 17th of April, 2011, and just about 2 weeks ago, there was a movie that was released. It's still available, entitled Limitless, okay? And this movie indicates how, again, drugs were used to cause all of the neurons of the brain to instantly communicate. And the capabilities of the individual were, again, limitless. However, there are a lot of consequences because the consciousness of an individual who has instantly connected all of the neuronal circuits of the brain has not learned how to be able to adjust to such phenomena, nor have the tissues, because of the chemical bombardment that happens. It's very amazing with the amount of neurobiology and the neurophysiology that I was aware of to be able to understand why there are many areas of that movie that were quite accurate as to how people would respond positively, if you want to use that term, or could I say, respond in a conducive manner relative to the results that they wanted, and also that many people destroyed their tissues because their perception of how to literally live with a brain that was totally communicating instantly was beyond their comprehension. They couldn't handle the amount of information they could access in their own mind field. Very, very interesting. However, this is the frontier for all of us to be able to experience, and it doesn't require us to have to use an external stimulus, a catalyst to trigger this. We can begin to introduce the tools that are responsible for manifesting all of reality as you know it, and there are tools that specifically develop and grow the neurons of the brain at your level of comprehension so that in your ideal time and space, you can have a limitless brain, and that is through the use of sacred geometry. So we've talked about that before. Please join us on our balancing program show, because with the use of the proper geometric template and the proper sequence for the proper length of time, you can grow a brain that will allow you to have a limitless life. And I recommend this be done by all women who intend to have a huge, incredible, joyous, fabulous life in the 21st century. The brain and its development is the name of the game. Now, since we know that chemicals acting on the brain create a different reality, we also know that chemicals acting on the brain also create different brain structures. We also know for a fact that when the brain is damaged, great capabilities of the brain, it can function quite well, and if the environment is cultivated, the brain can grow literally all of itself back. This is very important. And we now know that your will literally be done. That is to say that if you desire for your brain to return to its complete function after it has been traumatized, guess what? As long as you can identify and sustain the environment that will support that growth, the brain will do your will. So have you ever thought about the fact as to why some individuals have no residual after having a massive stroke? Other individuals are profoundly affected permanently after having just mild strokes. And when we look at their attitudes and what they know about their capacity to control and to dictate their reality, we can make a definite association that those individuals who feel that their life is like it is because of others, because of certain conditions or circumstances that they felt were out of their control, et cetera, they never really had 100% resolution of any type of neurologic trauma. However, those individuals who, even though they may not have owned up to events prior to having a stroke, but have decided that it's very important for them to have full capability of their limbs, their remaining nerve organs such as the eye or their hearing, et cetera, have been able to have almost 100% resolution because they decided this is what they wanted to achieve, which is a chemical. The will is a chemical, and that chemical literally is a catalyst that will cause the neurons to create particular combinations of chemistry that will give full, clear chemical signals to the nucleus of the cells, the DNA, activate the proper genes so that full regeneration and recovery can occur. And this is amazing. This is amazing. So sometimes you want to say, well, you know, it wasn't because I got the best medical care or the doctor got to me too late, et cetera. That is a relative truth relative to what it is that you have decided that you would like to experience as far as the end result for you. And this is very important to carry with you into the 21st century. So the doctor is not the end result. It is your will and the picture that you are holding for the end result of this experience that is the master determiner of whether you will have the result that you're envisioning. If you envision no picture, then whatever the conditions are at that moment relative to cell function, if they're not other associated chemicals, chemistries that would interfere with the normal regenerative cycle of the cell, then the cell will return to its normal template pattern. However, if there are chemicals that would interfere with that cell being able to access its chemical, or should I say standard template for regeneration and recovery, then the regeneration and the recovery will not be completed. This is reflected by the presence of scar tissue. This is reflected by the presence of limited mobility, limited use of structures that have not totally regained their full range of motion, their full plasticity, pliability, and flexibility because there were intervening chemicals that inhibited the intelligence of the cell to access its original blueprint or template for regeneration and restructuring. Pay attention, ladies, because what are those chemicals that normally inhibit the consciousness of the cell from returning to, recalling, to re-implement the standard template plate structure and function of the cell? It is molecules of emotion. This is very important to understand. We have seen, and there's been the recording of experiences of, and, should I say, excuse me, experiments where individuals that did not have any opinion on the event that may have occurred that may have inflicted pain or even more intense trauma, over 90% experienced total recovery of the area, recovery within the area of the body that was traumatized with the total resolution of scar. You could not identify where the trauma had occurred. Where individuals had made numerous conclusions, had high incidence of opinion on the events regarding the areas of the body that were traumatized and the events that caused the trauma, there was a very high percentage, over 80%, that had long-term residual limitation and discomfort in the areas of the body, and healing was not complete. We found that diet didn't really make a difference, but we definitely have been able to identify that the emotional states surrounding the events previous to the trauma were still there post-trauma, and throughout the long-term period of healing where the area never came to full resolution and returned to its original functioning state. So these molecules of emotion, we have fabulous scientists that have written about these. You may want to refer to Candace Pert in a wonderful book. This is kind of an old book, about maybe about 15 years or so, where she talks about these molecules of emotion and how they do accelerate, but usually in our case at this time, they inhibit full functioning of the tissues of the body that are created from our brain. This is no external drug, et cetera, that is creating this problem. Now, before we go to the phones, I just want to just give you some basic information, and maybe these are some words that you're not aware of, but I want you to begin to think about these areas of your brain. I want you to become familiar with these words because you are a fabulous, incredible scientist that has this wonderful body that in the 21st century, if you spend some time learning the anatomy and physiology of the body and most of all the neurobiology and the neuroanatomy of your brain, you're going to be able to go places and do awesome things. So let's look at seven major areas of the brain that are distinctly unique in women. Number one, the ACC. A is an apple, C is in cat. C is in cat is the abbreviation, and that is the anterior cingulate cortex. Anterior cingulate cortex. Anterior cingulate, C-I-N-G-U-L-A-T-E, cortex. It weighs opinions, makes decisions, and it's the worry wart center, and it's larger in women than in men. Very interesting. We have the prefrontal cortex, or what we call the PFC. P as in Peter, F as in C, C as in cat, for the prefrontal cortex. This is the queen that rules the emotions and keeps them from going wild. It puts the brakes on the area of the brain known as the amygdala, A-M-Y-G-D-A-L-A. I pronounce it amygdala, but there's this interesting G there, amygdala, amygdala. It's larger in women and matures faster in teen girls than in boys by 1 to 2 years. That is the PFC, the prefrontal cortex. I love this area of the brain because when you're able to keep your consciousness in the prefrontal cortex, you're able to observe yourself, just like in the movie Limitless. If you notice through the movie, they showed the doubles of him, that he was always looking at himself, doing these different things, learning the new language. You could see how he was changing from one state of consciousness to the next because that prefrontal cortex was firing. The light came on in the prefrontal cortex, and he was able to track his own behavior, his own thinking, through those neurons that were now communicating that weren't really communicating before. So the prefrontal cortex keeps you out of the emotional brain so that you can have a whole repertoire and resources of selections, of choices that you can make about how you choose to behave. If you want to access your mind, which is unlimited, it reaches and totally embraces all universes, all galaxies, you must be able to sit on your throne. Did you hear that? They call this the queen. So you have to be the queen and sit on your throne in your seat known as the PFC or the prefrontal cortex to rule this 21st century. You cannot be sitting in the midbrain per se or in what we call the reptilian areas of the brain because it brings lots of drama, lots of drama, which brings a lot of experiences that you won't have the answers to because the answers are in a different part of the brain and you cannot get to the prefrontal cortex and be in the midbrain, I say in the reptilian brain at the same time. The body totally functions totally differently. And that was a good example of what was happening in the movie also. So you want to finally be able to be the queen, and queens are defined by their capacity to sit on their throne, which is you are able to live in consciousness in that prefrontal cortex. Next we have the insula, I-N-S-U-L-A, the center that processes gut feelings, larger and more active in women than in men. I'll say that again, the insula, the center that processes gut feelings, and it's larger in women than it is in men. So that means, again, that you have literally another area of the brain that is taking in all this subliminal information in your mind that it may not have words. It may not be able to be expressed, but your prefrontal cortex is on the alert that there's other things going on, and you can then make a decision about whether you should take action on it or not, but you will know. So men usually refer to this as a hunch, okay? But it's much stronger in women. It's almost like an instinct to know, and we'll say that. We don't know why. I just knew, and that's why I had to change plans, and I did it this way. You have a part of the brain that's responsible for literally covering your back. The hypothalamus, the conductor of the hormonal symphony, it kicks the gonads into gear, that is, in our case, our ovaries, and it starts pumping early at puberty in females, earlier than it does in males. The amygdala, again, the amygdala, amygdala, the wild beast within, the instinctual core, tamed only by what? The queen, the prefrontal cortex. And the amygdala is what? Larger in men than it is in women. So when we've seen women go off and they just are having a tangent and screaming and hollering, they're out of control, et cetera, we know where their consciousness is. It is in the amygdala, the amygdala, as I like to call it. They are in the area that is so primitive and so instinctive. We call that the wild beast, and that's where they are. You're not accessing much of the mind when you are in the amygdala, not at all. That is hardwired, instinctive, get on your hands and knees, scratching for survival, lower brainstem, mere animal behavior. And we still see a lot of that now going on, and we're at the foothills of the 21st century. You don't have to go there ever. If you grow the neurons of the brain, allow full development to occur, you can always stand on your throne, and it's going to be necessary in the 21st century. Next, we have the pituitary gland, which produces hormones of fertility, milk production, the nurturing behavior, and it helps to turn on what's known as the mommy brain. That's in the center of the brain. And then you have the hippocampus, H-I-P-P-O-C-A-M-P-U-S, the elephant that never forgets a fight. This is the area of a romantic encounter or a tender moment. You will not forget it. And this area of the brain is larger and more active in women than in men. So this is another reason why the anniversary, the engagement anniversary, the wedding anniversary may slip the man's attention if he's not conscious and sitting in his PFC as a king, where in your case, even though you may not be in your prefrontal cortex as the queen sitting on your throne, because your hippocampus is larger, you tend to be able to hang on and store that data. So it looks like we have some callers. I am going to take a little station break, and we are going to get busy talking to you and hearing what you have to say about your brain is the name of the game. We'll be right back.
100 years ago, it was not conceivable that we could control all forms of matter with our thoughts. Hi, I'm Dr. Jewel, and I know that sounds incredible, and together we can explore this and many more incredible scientific realities through my latest book, Straight from the Heart. It's an exciting outpouring of information that you will read and explore over and over again. Get your paperback or ebook copy of Straight from the Heart today at www.thejewelnetwork.net.
Well, Hi, if you're just tuning in, we've had a really nice review of those significant areas of the brain that are going to be significant in the 21st century as women, as to how we are going to be able to access them and to know how to use them and when to use them. And from my viewpoint right now, everyone making a decision that they are going to be able to move their consciousness to their prefrontal cortex and be able to stay there most of the time, these are the queens. This is known as the queen area of the brain. This is the queen that is able to rule her emotions. Moving into the prefrontal cortex and being able to stay there is one of the most powerful places you can be in awareness and being able to access with unlimited capabilities the mind, your mind, which is vast. So with that said and understood, and we may have to go through this next week, but we're going to try to stay on schedule because this is so important that the woman must conquer and become competent and aware of how to use her brain this lifetime. If she's going to be a successful 21st century woman, is very, very important. So we are going to definitely talk much more about that and have a lot more discussions in many different ways. So please write me and let me know what you think about that. And, of course, we have the balancing program. And the women who join our balancing program, they can definitely testify to the results that they're getting because they are now able to stay out of the insula much more and be able to move into the prefrontal cortex, to be able to understand the hippocampus and why they are making decisions using their anterior cingulate cortex and being able to make sure that the information that they store in the hippocampus allows the cingulate cortex to be able to make accurate decisions because the information is up to date. So, dear engineer, who do we have on the phone? Our caller.
Well, our first call doctor is from area code 804.
Well, hi, 804. How are you?
Very good, Dr. Jewell. I hope you'll forgive me as being a male coming onto this program, but I was totally fascinated by what you're saying, and the bottom line for both sexes is unconditional love. And I have trained my brain to think in unlimited terms. I'm an unlimited well of creativity as well as a creative intelligent force. I have documents throughout my life that will indicate my progression, and I'm a disabled senior citizen, and I would love to have you investigate just who I am and what I'm doing.
Okay, well, you know, you can always write us.
Yeah, I was going to give you a blog if you could take a look at that at your leisure, if I may. It has
okay.
a letter from President Obama on it to me related to the economy, a powerful little poem I dedicated to my wife, which is also in the President Ronald Reagan Library in an interview that can be downloaded.
All right. Well,
if
I really appreciate that.
I'm sorry?
And I said I really appreciate that. Can you just cite that for us? What is that?
Yes.
That,
if you just if you use the Google search engine and just type the word creativity, the number 777.com, that will bring it up again, creativity37s.com. And I believe you're in the Atlanta, Georgia area?
That's correct. Yes, we are. That's where our active headquarters is, but we're worldwide. We really are.
Yes, because I wanted to mention a woman who's up in the mountains outside of Atlanta who is unusual drawing. She's breaking matrices and has wormholes and portals, and they're very helpful for brain activity. Her name
okay.
is Shona Ballou, B as in boy, E-L-L-E-W, and she
uh-huh.
has a website called daydreamingtheinfinite.com.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you. And I do want to say this, and this is also very important. I want to, what's your name? You're going to share your name with us?
Yes, my name is Hugh, and everyone has unlimited creativity. It's just a question of learning how to readjust the way we think. And if I may, real quick, I'll just give this poem because it can open the heart and the brain at the same time. It's titled Caring, Sharing. It reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. When you start taking actions and doing things to help other people, it will come back and bless you, and you'll get a bliss, and your brain will open up more.
Well, that, no question. That's some of the tenets of our universal laws. I do want to say this, though, and this is something that we're going to talk about later on in the 21st Century Woman, is that many people are very confused about this whole concept that we talk about all the time, which, as you describe it, is love, because we also know that relative to the amount of brain tissue that you have fully developed and the chemistry that those neural nets can produce for you also determines your perception of love. So an individual who has spent time totally developing the neurons and making sure that they integrate love for them chemically and also in actuality being expressed through the body is a total different reality than individuals who have not spent time cultivating the growth and development of the neurons and spends a lot of their time in the insula, which as we know is a more primitive area of the brain. Love is something totally different. And if we drew your blood, extracted it, and analyzed the chemical composition while you are thinking about loving circumstances, the chemistry is totally different. So this is something that we're going to talk about later on, Hugh, and I do want to thank you so much for sharing that information. Creativity777.com, is that correct?
That's correct. And my phone number is on there, and the blog is just the tip of the iceberg. If you will, at your leisure,
okay,
call me anytime. I'll be very happy to tell you more about myself and things that I'm doing.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And ladies, gentlemen, please take upon yourselves to visit. But most of all, again, the brain development is the name of the game here at the foothills of the 21st century. And, you know, these are fabulous mountains for us to climb and have incredible experiences waiting. But, again, whose brain is developed, whose is not, is going to determine your entry and exit of the 21st century. And you have to remember that the brain is over 70% water. It's not even as structured as Jell-O. It depends on the water, the fluidity of the brain, et cetera, and because it will regenerate, it changes shape and size to accommodate your visionary capabilities. So we've got a lot to talk about, ladies, but let's go to the next call. And again, thanks so much, Hugh. Can we have our next caller, please?
Yes, our next caller is from area code 860.
Well, hello, 860. How are you? We don't have much time, so if you can speak a little fast. 860, are you there? Well, you know, it's we just have a few minutes left, and I want to tell you that this is an exciting part of the 21st century is the brain, the neurophysiology, neurobiology of the brain. This is so exciting. And women, I tell you that you have a brain that is incredible. You have the capacity to know as much as you choose to. You can access the mind that you have always dwelt within, but you've got to develop those neural nets. And you've got to be willing to be comfortable with change so that as you move into different areas of your brain, the information that will be available to you, the capabilities that will be activated within your body, that you feel comfortable and confident to be able to take action on them. So fear is definitely out. Okay, that's an old modality. You can't go anywhere with that. And fear always is buffered, neutralized, and forced to disappear when you have knowledge. That is the key for the 21st century. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. We've got exciting information next Sunday, but in the meantime, please dial in tomorrow because we have fabulous testimonies from children on the balancing program. They're going to tell you how they're doing on the balancing program as children, parents who have children who are balancing, what it's like to be a balanced parent with children. Tune in at 5 o'clock tomorrow, and also I'll be there tomorrow talking with you with my guests tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. So tune into the Dr. Jewel Show Tuesday. We have It's All About Time, It's About Time with Randy Bruner, as well as our new host coming on, our wonderful preservationist and survivalist, Steve Knopp. So you want to tune in, and that's at 7 on Tuesday also. So we'll talk to you soon. Have a wonderful week, and remember, the brain is the name of the game. Love you much. Have a great, great week. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the best of TJN science and technology interviews. Join us here every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Jewel Network, where you're invited to join us to listen to select researchers and scientists share their rarely discussed rediscoveries in science and technologies. For our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website at thejewelnetwork.com or follow us on Facebook at The Jewel Network. Thank you.
This broadcast is under full copyright and trademark protection owned by the House of Jewels. This broadcast in its entirety, nor any part of this broadcast, can be reproduced, copied, transcribed, placed in podcast format, placed into MP3 format, or suspended on any internet digital location without express permission from the House of Jewels, Washington State, USA. To reproduce or suspend this broadcast in any digital location other than the Jewel Network is prohibited, and legal proceedings will follow accordingly. Thank you for listening.